We are in the middle of a series called Transformed. I started the series off last week talking about being transformed in our spiritual health. And we have also been in our life groups continuing on with the series and using the teaching of Rick Warren and some of the journal books to dive a little deeper into each of these topics. We had a great time in our life group on Friday, listening to the video and discussing. On Monday night in our library, we are holding a time for people to come and watch the videos that are not in a life group and to connect in small groups right there in the library. And this Monday, even though it was cold, we had over 100 people come and participate in that, and I heard great things about that. And so today we have Anatoly, one of our pastors on staff, is going to come and share the Word of God with us and give us Transform Part 2. So let's welcome him as he comes.
Hey guys, it's so encouraging to be in the house of the Lord. Our worship was so great. These guys did two key changes in one set. It's like, wow. And it's like, well, I really enjoyed it. I would do that every time. I've got John, where is John? He's here. Where are you? So this reading, oh, he's right here. You were playing my language. You were speaking my language. This, maybe in the end I will call you to, you know, do the altar call closing. On the base. That's awesome. Even before worship started, I was so encouraged. You know, Ron Swan met me there during the prayer, and he looked at my shirt and he asked what I'm doing wearing my old dreams. What else do you do with your old dreams? You know, I'm excited about that. Actually, it's my new dreams. I just, you know, I come home, put it back in my videos, and then I really excited. I would like to start with reading from Book of John, 15:8. Jesus says this: "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples." When we bear fruit in our life, when our life begins to transform, when we become like Christ, when our life begins
transformed by God's power, this is what glorifies God. Our God is being glorified through our transformation. That's why transformation is so important. It's not so much only for us, it's for His glory. Then we become living testimony. We're becoming living proof of His awesomeness, of His power, of His love, of how great He is. When people look at our life being transformed, they glorify God. See, transformation starts with us getting closer to God. We can't transform ourselves. See, transformation, it's different from just self-help kind of tricks when you just put up your mind to something, okay, I'll be better, I'll change this area in my life, then I'll work on this area in my life. You can try to do that and you may succeed for a while, but real transformation comes from the Lord, when we get closer to Him and from His power, from His light, from His Holy Spirit, this light starts entering our lives and it starts saturating every area of our life, our spiritual life, our relationships, our finances, our health, the way we think, our faith, everything starts to being transformed the way God wants it. And it brings glory to God. Today we will talk about physical side of transformation, but I want to give you a heads up. I'm not going to tell you what to eat and how to exercise, because I know maybe some of you guys were thinking, okay, we're talking about physical transformation, so maybe we will do some, you know, like exercises, and no, we are all adults here, and I never liked when somebody would come and tell me what to eat. I'm not going to persuade you, trying to tell you, can you please eat less sugar and eat less bread, don't eat pasta so often, don't drink pop. We all know that donuts and pop not really good for us, so we don't need to, I'm not going to persuade you today to do that. I just want to mention one thing, that at some point, we just need to make a choice and see if we're okay with how our choices affect our health. Because when it comes to physical health and, you know, our physical health, some things we can't change. Some things are out of our control. For example, I was born with one kidney. I can't change that. This is just the way I was born. Sometimes we have some physical conditions that it's out of our control. But there are some other physical conditions that are direct results of our choices. You know, that cholesterol level doesn't come up just by itself. We choose to do something, and then it affects our health. So at some point, we just need to come to this decision, I'm not okay how my choices affect my health, and we start to make better choices. What we're actually going to focus at today, we will be talking about stress. And topic of my message today, it's from stressed to blessed. And you may ask me, why stress? What stress has to do with my health? What stress has to do with physical transformation? You probably heard it many times. There were hundreds and hundreds of different surveys and researches that came to conclusion that chronic stress is devastating to our health. It's devastating to our brain, to our body. I just have a fresh stats from 2018. There is a university down in the United States. They were questioning several thousand people, and that's what they came up with. Over 43% of people they asked, they suffer from adverse health effects from stress. Stress is among the six leading causes of death. 29% of people asked reported that they started drinking or increased their drinking due to stress. 46% reported that they ate too much or they ate unhealthy due to stress. I'm familiar with this particular thing. In 2003, my family and I, we were going through major stressful period in our lives. We had lots of losses. We lost our apartment. I failed in ministry. Lots of things were not right in our lives. And I remember that I found comfort. You will be laughing, but I found comfort in double cheeseburger in McDonald's. It became my comfort food. And I just remember for quite a few years, every time I felt stressed, I felt urged to go to this McDonald's and get that double cheeseburger. And it's really interesting that year, from 2003 to 2004, I gained 40 pounds just in 1 year. I don't know if those things are connected or not. I don't know. I don't want to have issues with the McDonald's lawyers, so let's leave it. Stress, it's a pretty serious thing. What is stress? When it comes down to it, it boils down to this. Stress, it's a simply response of our body to any kind of threat. Is a real threat or perceived threat. When we feel threatened, there is something started to happen in our body that we call stress. You know, our pulse start go faster, our heartbeat and blood pressure goes up. And, you know, we were designed like that because it can be good. For example, you stand in the middle of the road and then you look back and there is a huge truck, you know, going after you. Stress, that would give you extra energy to jump off the road, to get off the, so truck wouldn't hit you. What we're talking about, it's a chronic stress. Lots of us, we are living under chronic stress. And we are going to address that. And we will try to see what Bible tells us, how we can manage stress in our life, how we can reduce stress level in our lives. One thing I want you to remember, stress is something we can control. It's something that we can reduce. We can do certain things to help reduce stress level in our lives. I would like us to look at Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14:30. It says, peace of mind makes the body healthy. Sometimes it's not what we eat, but what eats us makes us unhealthy. So we got to figure out how to reduce stress level in our life and how to increase peace right here. How to increase peace. And I like how a New Living Translation, the same verse, it says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. It's all about attitude. Let's look at probably the most beloved chapter in the whole Bible. It's Psalm 23. Probably most of you know it from where you were little kids. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, so I have all I need. He makes me lie down in lush green meadows, and he leads me beside calm, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your staff, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the day of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord of, yes, forever. Amen. What a great thing. This psalm, we can learn so many things from this psalm of David. But today, I would like us to look at two lessons. And I guarantee you guys, if we can apply those two lessons to our life, I guarantee you the stress level will be dramatically reduced in our life. Let's look what it says. One of the things, I will start with verse 2, and you will understand why. Usually people start with verse 1, but today I would like to start with verse 2. Psalm 23, verse 2, it says, you lay me, can you guys go to the next one? You make me lay down in the green pastures, or how it says here, yeah, I really like this sheep. This morning I woke up and I probably was exactly like that, didn't want to come here. Wanted to stay in my bed. He makes me lay down in lush green meadows. I looked at the video about a shepherd, and he was actually showing how he makes sheep lay down. Sheep are very anxious animals, and for them to lay down, they don't really like laying down. They, if they're hungry or they feel threatened or they somehow worried about something, they're tired, they're exhausted, but they just won't lay down. So what shepherd does, and this video was so interesting, he would come, right, and grab the sheep on the back, and those sheep can be quite big. It's not like a dog. Some of them, they, you know, that big. So he would lift it, and then he would sit down with the sheep and kind of put it to the ground and start kind of, you know, petting here and kind of, okay, it's good, you know. And then sheep would just fall to sleep because it was so exhausted. So as soon as it lays down, it falls to sleep. So first lesson I would like us to learn from this psalm. You need to obey God's instruction about rest. You need to obey God's instruction about rest. So much stress in our life comes from always being in a hurry, always feeling like you have so much to do. You can't catch up. Seems like things just keep on piling up, and you think, I can't get a break. I gotta do this, I gotta do that. There is no way I can get caught up. And it brings stress to our life. Hurry, 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 hurry. Everything should be fast. Fast food, you know, I go to fast food restaurant and I demand, I need to have my burger, you know, in 2 minutes. If it's not there, they'll be in big trouble. We're always in a hurry. See, I want you guys to remember this. My best requires rest. My best requires rest. That's why God gave us a Sabbath. Exodus 34:21 says this, 6 days are set aside for work, but every seventh day you must rest, how? Completely. Even during your season of plowing and harvest, you must observe a Sabbath day of rest. Later, Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. God created that idea of rest for you, so you don't burn out. Your best requires rest. When you rest, when you relax, you're not wasting your time. This is how God designed it. And it's interesting that he put this commandment about the Sabbath right with other, you know, part of the Ten Commandments. So it's quite important. It's quite important. What do I do? What am I supposed to do on my Sabbath? Number one, I rest my body. There is a time just to rest my body. Number two, I need to refocus my spirit. I know that every day we're supposed to pray and every day we're supposed to study the Word of God, but Sabbath is a day when we can take more time spent with the Lord, hearing His voice, diving into His Word, read some good books, worship, focus on Him, not being in a hurry, not being, okay, I gotta leave in 10 minutes, but when you sit down, Lord, I want to spend time with you. Talk to my heart. That's when you reflect on your life. When you look at your life, you try to see where Holy Spirit is leading you, what God is telling you. That's how you refocus your spirit. And number three, what you need to do on your Sabbath, you need to energize and recharge your emotions. Recharge your emotions. And what you need to do, guys, you need to find out what exactly charges you. What energizes you? It can be different for different people. What energizes one person can drain the other one. I know that some of you guys like to go and watch football in the stadium. For me, you can't pay me enough to do that. The only thought of it is just like, ugh, no way, no way. Some of you like fishing. Some of you like, for some of you, just laying, you know, and just reading a book, that's what energizing you. My thing, I like to get lost in the streets of some towns. I like to go to, every time I travel, for me it's the best thing, just to go to some unknown town or city and just get lost in the streets. Wander around, you know, sit down in small coffee shops, observe things, that's, or even in the mountains or in the forest. Just go someplace, I don't know, and just get lost. So if you can't find me sometimes, no, I just probably got lost. So you need to find out what energizes you. And on Sabbath day, this is what you need to do. And it doesn't really matter what exactly the day is. You need to have such a day in your life. You need to have a day when you stop. Completely stop. Even in busiest season, stop. Bring to you completely stop. In our society, people don't do that. Because so many things on the go, so many things need to be dealt with, so many things cooking, people texting you, people demand peace of you, people want attention from you, you need to decide this or that, but you gotta figure out how in the midst of the busyness of your life, every now and then, to have this time, regular time, when you stop and you rest. You rest your body, you refocus your spirit, and you energize and recharge your emotion. Lesson number two from this psalm. You need to make a decision once and for all that you are going to trust God with everything in your life, in every area of your life. We trust God with our salvation, don't we? Who trusts God with your salvation? Oh yeah, we all do. To purchase salvation for us, Christ went all the way to the cross. That's how He showed, how He provided the salvation for us. He didn't hold back anything. He gave it all so we can have the salvation. And we trust God for that. We can surely trust Him in every other area of our life, every single area of our life, we can surely trust Him. See, trusting God is a decision that we make, but this decision comes out from what we believe about God. Why so often we feel stressed out? Could it be, I'm just asking, could it be it's because we have a hard time completely trusting our God? What do you believe about God? Do you believe that God, He is your loving Father who deeply loves you and cares about every area of your life? Psalm 23 teaches us to trust God in these five areas. Write them down. Trust God in your needs, with your needs. Trust God with guidance. Trust God when I am in the valley. Trust God when I am under attack. And trust God with my future. Those areas, they are the major sources of stress in our lives. And that's where God is asking you, would you trust me? Would you trust me in those areas? Psalm 23, verse 1. That's how David starts. The Lord is my shepherd, so I have all I need. Make a decision to trust God with your needs. God is my shepherd, so I look unto him that he is going to meet my every need. And that calms me down. Because he is my shepherd, I don't look to people to meet my needs. But I look only to him. Yes, he can use people, but people are not the source of my provision. Because when we look at people as source of our provision, we will be disappointed. But when we look in God as a source of our provision, he will never disappoint us. Can I be honest with you guys? Joel, can I be honest with them?
Please.
Can I be raw with you? Like, can I really show a raw, ugly side of me? I'm not going to take my shirt off, don't worry. When we came to Canada in 2011, we came with nothing. We came and borrowed money, actually. And I remember this first year or two, we would go to Walmart, buy something, and then next day, I say, no, we can't afford it. So we would go and take it back. And our first car was, we spent $350 for this rusted, with holes in the doors, car. The blower motor wouldn't work. And in the winter, I had to drive with open window and stick my head right there. I don't know how police never caught us, but Natalie was crashing the window, the windshield. It was fun times. And sometimes, you know, I would look at you guys. I would look at you. And to be honest with you, sometimes I was jealous of you. And I will tell you why. When I looked at you guys, I thought, well, these guys, they have their parents, they have grandparents. And when I hear story, well, how did you buy your house? Well, my grandfather gave me money for down payment. Oh, it's such a nice car. Oh, yeah, my parents, they just bought a new car, so they gave me this old one. So it's always like, because, you know, local guys, you have families and cousins and parents. So, and I look at that, and it's just, but we don't have anyone here. We don't have anyone. We can't expect help from anyone. It's just me, Natalie, and Elizabeth. This is all who we are. So I found myself a little bit jealous. Like, you know, who's going to care of us? And God challenged me on that. I remember a period when God was challenging, asking me this question. Am I not enough? Am I not an El Shaddai? God that more than enough. Am I not your shepherd? And I just remember I started to refocus on him. And I acknowledge, Lord, I'm sorry. I remember those stories how Elijah, when he was hiding in the desert, in the caves, God was sending ravens so they would, birds, bring meat and bread for him. Jesus, one day he needed to pay a tax and he didn't have cash on him. But he said, you know what, go catch this fish, take coin after out of its mouth and you'll get money to pay your tax. In my own life, in mid-90s, when my mom and I, we got saved, and life was rough. Soviet Union just split. My mom lost her job, and because my mom got saved, she had to, she was dating a man who was kind of providing for us, but this man was married, and it was very painful circumstances. So when my mom got turned to the Lord, she broke that. So we were just on our own. And I remember God was showing us his mercy by sending miracle after miracle after miracle. One time I remember our dog, our little poodle, he was walking, going for a walk, and then it came back and it was holding the whole grilled chicken in his mouth. And he scratched, and our door, we opened the door and he comes and puts a whole grilled chicken. Where he got it? And another part of miracle, how come he didn't eat it? because the dog was hungry as well. We didn't have too much money to feed dogs. So, and God was reminding me, can't you remember how I was? It wasn't people who were sourced. It wasn't people who were caring for you. I was caring for you. I was providing. Why can't you trust me? And I remember I refocused and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There is nothing better when we know God is our Father, when we look at Him as our Father. My father died when I was 6 years old. And what I remember, over time, I developed what I would call the thinking of an orphan. And so that's how I was thinking, and that's how I ended up acting. Orphan thinks, nobody would care for me if I don't. So you know what? I'm just admitting, I was stealing. I was stealing. I remember one time, my aunt from different city, she was staying with us, and it so happened, I looked and I saw her wallet laying at the table, and there was like a pack of money, like a cash money, and I didn't realize it wasn't even hers, but I didn't know that. So I kind of sneaked there, and I took a couple of bills, and you know what I did? I gave it to my mom. I told her I found it. Because I felt like I'm an orphan, because there's no one to care for us. There is no one. I saw how my mom was struggling, how she was trying to find some empty bottles to put them and get a couple pennies from that, and she was always borrowing money from neighbors and then couldn't look them in the eyes because she didn't have to pay back. My heart was broken, but I didn't realize it. So I thought, okay, maybe I can help, maybe I can steal so I can give it to her. And I got in trouble because, you know, I was only 9 years old. They figured it out pretty quickly. How come I gave you exactly the same amount that gone from my aunt's wallet? You know, another thing that orphan would say, grab it till it's here. You know, just grab it till it's here so nobody would take it from me. It's mine. Orphan would fight for whatever it is, position or race or title or whatever it is. It's mine. Give it to me so nobody would steal it from me. We have these two cats, one boy and one girl. And then boy, you give him his food and he eats whatever he wants and then he leaves. But this girl, first of all, she wants to eat his food first. She would jump on his and kind of trying to kind of put his behind to the boy and eat his from his plate, and she would eat as much as you give her. Like she would never, I never saw that she would leave some food on the plate. But this boy, do you have a name? Cat boy, girl? Because in English, some of the animals you have certain word for female, like you have, but not for cats. That's stressful. I'm telling you, your language is stressful. What this cat learned, the boy cat, every time he is hungry, he would just come to me or to Natalie, look us in the eyes, and says, meow. And it melts, our hearts are melt, we just give him. Because he knows there is more. He looks at us as a shepherd, and we would come, you know, and provide. When we know God is our Father, we can trust Him, that He provides, that He's going to provide for our needs. You know, Elizabeth, she's my daughter here. Elizabeth, I just want to ask you. I know that I didn't tell you I was going to do that, but I want to ask you. Deep down in your heart, do you have this assurance that I would do anything it takes, that I will come through for you? Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, I will come through. I will do anything I can to help you, to provide for you. Do you have this assurance in your heart? She said yes, in case you wonder. I'm a fallen man. And this is exactly what Jesus said. Even though you're a fallen people, you know how to do good for your children. How much more? How much more your heavenly Father knows how to give good to His children? One of the major source of stress in our life is worrying. Worrying, when we worry. And it's interesting, you can't tell a person, don't worry. Hey, it's going to be fine, just don't worry. Person need to change the way he believes first. And then worry will just lose its grip over his soul, over his emotions, over his mind. Once we start looking at God as our shepherd, it's affirmation. You are my shepherd. You are my father. So I have all I need. And peace of God starts filling your soul. And stress goes down. Because we have a strong arm we can lean on. We have a strong shoulder of our father we can lean on. Verse 4 says this. Verse 3. He guides me in the right way, in the right path for his name's sake. A common source of stress in our lives is indecision. When we don't know what to do. When we stand and a fork in the road, should I do that? Should I take this offer or not? Should I quit this job or not? Should I move? What should I do? Make a decision to trust God when you don't know what to do. Trust God with guidance. He says, I know for sure, it's affirmation. He leads me in the right way. I really like how James puts it, James 1. He said, whoever lacks wisdom, ask. Ask. Because God gives it to anyone without withhold. He giving to anyone who asks. So what do you do when you find yourself in a fork in the road? If you find yourself in these circumstances where you don't know what to do, you need to make a decision, but you don't know what to do. You ask, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. And then you wait. You patiently wait. You trust. You spend time with him. You read his word. And then in the right time, idea will come to your mind. Guidance will come. Oh, okay, I got it. That's awesome. In the right time. I want you to guys just to remember this affirmation. God will guide you in the right time, not in the wrong time. His timing is perfect. He is never early. He is never late. If you have to make a decision about next year, he won't give it to you now because he wants you to trust him. Bible said that there is enough trouble for each day. Take one day at a time. In the right time, he will guide you. He will give you what to do. Natalie, I mentioned before that her store is closes, and we already know that in March she will be out of job. And I know it's natural to worry about what should I do? Where should I go? Where should I be applying? But I keep on telling Natalie, God will show us what to do in March. When time comes, we will know what to do. In the right time, God will guide us. Make sure to trust God when you don't know what to do. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Make a decision to completely trust God in the dark valley. Some of you right now, you may go through the valley of a shadow. It could be a valley of shadow of death. It could be a valley of shadow of debt. It could be a valley of shadow of sickness. It could be a valley of shadow of loss. Doesn't matter. We all go through valleys every now and then. It's part of our life. There is actually more valleys in the future. It's just part of our life. So when you go through the valley of shadow, what David says, you are with me. I just want you guys to look at this next. Next slide. It's one interesting fact about this psalm. Can you go to the next one, please? Psalm 23, made of 55 words in Hebrew. 55 words. It has 26 words, then 3 words in the middle, and then 26 words after that. Guess which words are in the middle. You are with me. This is the core of this psalm. You are with me. David saying, when I go through this dark valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because I know you are with me. Doesn't it sound familiar what Jesus said? I am with you till the end of times. He is Jehovah Shammah. God is there. He is always, always, always with us. I don't know what you're going through, but I know that much, that right there in your valley, your Father, your God, He is walking right beside you. He's right there with you. Write this down, guys. I don't need to know the answers when I know God. In the valley of a shadow of death, that's what happens. All these questions just come and they surround us. They attack us. Why? Why is this? How much longer, God? How much longer I need to go through this pain? How much longer I can go through this betrayal? How much longer I can go through this conflict? How much longer? Why is it happening to me? In those valleys, that's where fear started to come and choke you. But this is what we need to understand. When we know God, we don't have to know all the answers. Because God, who is with us, He knows all the answers. And if we can put our trust in Him completely, that's when David says that your staff and your rod, they comfort me. We find comfort from that. When we go through the valley, that's where we desperately need comfort. And guys, there is one really important thing. Don't try to find comfort elsewhere. Because when we go through the valley, that's where some people, they tempted to find comfort in alcohol, food, unhealthy relationships, pornography. There are so many sources that offer you comfort when you go through the valley. Learn to find comfort in God when you go through the valley. Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He is a comforter that comes. He is the one who is here to comfort you. Learn to find comfort in Him. Going through the valley, we need to learn to completely trust God when we go through the valley. Thank you, Lord. There is one interesting fact about the valley. When you go through the valley, and you go through that valley trusting in God, when you come out on the other side, you come out stronger, you come out closer to God, you come out knowing God more than you ever knew Him before. I can guarantee you that because it happened to me more than once. Valley can be a blessing if we learn how to completely trust God in the valley. Verse number 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We need to learn to trust God when we are under attack. You know, there are some people around us who just may not like us. Who of you met a couple of those? You know, you Canadians, I'm Ukrainian. Here we go, we got a conflict. Some of you may not like me just for that. Nothing wrong with that. Is there a word, pluralization? Is there a word like that? Did I get it right? When people from different nationalities come live together, I think there is a fancy word for that. Doesn't matter. So our world is changing. You know, back in the day, it was pretty common to live in a small town or village, and everyone around you, people would share the same values, they would share the same ideas, they would agree with you, people like each other, everything's so nice and, you know, and polite. But now it's not like that. People coming from different backgrounds, people live together having different values, and lots of tension, lots of conflict arise. One of the major sources of stress in our lives, it's a conflict. It can be at your work, it can be even in your family. Somebody doesn't agree with you. Somebody criticizes you. Somebody minimizing you or, you know, just making some nasty comments about you. When that happens, what we tempted to do, we tempt to talk back. We tempt to retaliate. We tempt to make even. But when we do that, it puts us on the same level with these people. We shouldn't be doing that. How do you handle mean people? How do you handle people who criticize you? How do you handle people who rude to you? How do you do that? You don't. You don't. You allow God to be your defender. You trust Him. You don't try to prove everyone, I'm right, you didn't understand me correctly, I need to, change your mind quickly, stop doing what you're doing, stop writing about me. No. It's so stressful. What you do, Lord God, I trust you. You can hear what these people talking about me, what they're saying about me. These people may not like me. I trust you with this. I trust you. This is what David did. Saul, King Saul, was after David. He was chasing him. He was hating David. He was trying to kill him. Through all of this, David didn't spoke even one bad word against Saul. But instead, this is what David was doing. We can find it in Psalm 18. David saying, how I love you, O Lord. You are my defender, my protector, and my strong fortress. In you, I am safe. You protect me like a shield. Does David sound stressed out here? Does he? No. But did you know that he writes that from the cave, hiding from Saul? This feeling of security, of safety, we all need that. It comes when we put our trust in God as our defender. When you're under attack, when you're in a conflict, put your trust in God. Don't try to fight back. Don't try to retaliate. Put your trust in God and find your peace in that. One of the major, and it's the last one, one of the major source of stress in our life, it's a fear for our future. It's a fear for our future. Verse 6 says this, surely, tell with me, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days. How many days? Only on the holidays? Only when I'm good? Only when I'm on fire? All of the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you a what-ifer? You know what what-ifer is? People who always what-ifing? I'm not swearing. I'm trying to learn English. What do you think? What if, what if something happens? What if I get sick? What if I don't have enough money? What if I don't get a job? What if I get fired? How am I going to pay my mortgage? What if this? What if that? Are you a what if-er? You can look at life in this one of two ways. One way is this. You can always look in the future with a fear, with your anxiety. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if something terrible happens? What if this, what if that? Lots of stress in that. But there's another way. It's a better way. It's a way when you look at life through this lens. Surely, no doubts about that. His mercy and His goodness following me. And this word following in Hebrew actually means chasing me. It's not just following, they're chasing me all of the days of my life. Every day, His mercy and His goodness, they're chasing after me. That's why I can boldly step into tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I can boldly step knowing that His mercy and His goodness are there. I don't know what exactly tomorrow holds, but I know that my God, He is there. There is this great old song written. I'm not going to sing them, no worries. The words goes like that. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And now I know that he holds my future and life worth living for just because he lives. Looking in the future, know this. God is already there. He is already there. Your Father is already there. Do you want to limit and reduce stress level in your life? Remember these two things. Obey God's instructions about rest. And learn to trust God with every area in your life. Amen? Amen. I don't know what burdens you're holding today. I don't know what burdens you're carrying today. But I do know the answer. And we find it here in the words of Jesus. Come to me. Not come to church. Not come to class. Come to clinic. Come to me, Jesus said. All you that are weary, and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Church, our God deserves our trust. Do you know that by trusting God, you actually worshiping him? When you trust your God, you acknowledge who he is. You agree with who he is. He is a faithful one. He is an unchanging one. And when you trust him, that's how you worship him. And Jesus said, come to me. What's the value of a yoke? What yoke does? It halves the load. When you don't have a yoke, you only have one cow pulling the whole load. But when you have a yoke, you have two animals sharing the load, the weight. Guess who is a donkey in this picture? When Jesus said, come to me and take my yoke, he didn't mean, come and help me carry my load. He doesn't need our help to carry his load because his strength is perfect. He doesn't need our help. What he's telling us, yoke up with me so I can share your load, so I can share your stress, so I will take upon me. You know, when you yoke up with Jesus, you go with him in the same direction, with the same speed. You can never end up in a ditch because you yoked to Christ. That's why he will hold you in the middle of the road. When you yoked up to Christ, that's when you can let go and you can completely trust because he is carrying the most of the load. Living life not being yoked to Christ, it's very stressful. It's very stressful. So Jesus saying, come to me. You need to come to him daily. With everything that's happening in your life, he is the source of your strength. He is the source of your peace. He says, come to me. And I would like to ask, maybe today, there are some of you guys came to church maybe for the first time. Or maybe you've been coming to church, but you never actually came to Christ. You never actually made this decision in your heart. You never actually kneeled down in your heart saying, Lord God, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I surrender my life to you. I don't want to live by myself anymore. Jesus, here am I. And maybe today, Holy Spirit is stirring your heart. You're hearing this message, and maybe your heart is being stirred, and you feel that you would like to invite Jesus to be part of your life. That maybe today is a day when you want to give your heart to Jesus. And when you want to make this decision to follow Christ, if you are here today, I would like to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but if some people like that here today, can you please just lift up your, just wave me with your hand? If some of you today here are saying, I would like to start following Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I want to give my life to Jesus. I see one hand there, thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else who's saying, I want Jesus in my life? Let's just pray together. Let's bow our hands and pray together. And make this prayer your prayer. Say with me, Lord Jesus, here am I. I invite you to come into my life. I believe that you are Son of God. Come into my life. I want to follow you. I give you my life. I surrender my life into your hands. Amen.